Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today. This is Let's Face the Issues. That telephone number, one more time, is 831-0917. Are you listening? Are you responding? How do we respond? How should the Christian respond to the catastrophic news that we hear 24/7 in America? Are we to just ignore the fact that it is a serious virus? Are we to go out and to test God and not believe that there is a serious malady that is out there among us? But I say to everybody, we need to maintain good hygiene, washing our hands, not touching our face. As the medical science says, a human being touches his face about 90 times a day. That we're touching our eyes, ears, nose, and mouth. We need to, in fact, some of the scientists are now saying that the disease or the virus can remain on your shoe soles, bottom of your shoes, for up to about 5 hours, or some one said 5 days. So some said leave your shoes at the back door and come on in,
wow,
et cetera, et cetera. So we need to carry out good hygiene. But ladies and gentlemen, we're being bamboozled, if I can use that word, Brother Davis,
amen,
into believing that the world's coming to an end. But I believe that it's because of fake, phony news and headlines that we're talking about, saying not enough hospital beds, we have no cure for medication. In fact, they've already discovered one physician using a malaria drug and an HIV drug combined said he treated 350 patients, and all 350 patients with the coronavirus have survived and are back out of the hospital. 350 is a pretty good test that works, Brother Davis.
Amen.
And yet they're
Amen.
Still saying now on CNN News and others that we have no cure for it. There's nothing that can be done, et cetera. That we're looking at a year, 18 months. And now the latest news this morning is that we can expect this coronavirus to reappear every winter season. That this is not the end of it. So we can't just let up. We got to keep on staying sheltered in place and the separation of 6 foot apart each. Then we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, the fact that all of our churches are closed, and they're wanting not to have a new closure of the churches. News about New York, and they supposedly now have refrigerated. Listen, the news this morning said that they had refrigerated trucks parked on the parking lot of all of the hospitals in New York collecting the dead bodies.
Amen.
Now, Brother Davis, that's enough to frighten anybody's socks off.
Well,
how do we respond to these headlines?
Here's a question that came up in my mind with all of these closings, and now the churches are being affected, and it sounds like they're going to command the doors to the church to be closed.
Yes.
It seems to me, instead of running away from God, we should be running to God.
Yes.
And I'm trying to figure out who put all of these businesses in the essential category,
mm-hmm,
and didn't include the church.
Yes. Good thought.
If the church is not essential, I would like to know what it is.
Yes.
Because you find everything that you need. Now, we're not talking about a food bank at the church. If you got a food bank, that's great.
Right.
That's wonderful. But we're talking about the proper thing that it's going to take in order for you to overcome spiritually, mentally, physically, financially, every area of your life. You can find all of that at the church.
Yes.
Yet and still, it seems to me they are commanding us now to close the doors at the church. And that's a sad situation.
And Pastor, this is what is kind of a oxymoron to me. You have the abortion clinic still open, yet they tell the hospitals elective surgery cannot be carried out. But abortion is an elective surgical procedure. Abortion centers are still open.
My.
We have liquor stores that are still open. We have today, especially in Washington State and Oregon and in California and in Colorado and some of the other states in the Northeast, the pot shops, marijuana shops are still open.
My.
Have some of the gambling casinos, the gambling operations, the betting centers are still open. And yet they talk about it being those that are only needful and necessary for life and survival. I want somebody to tell me how that fits into the equation. And as you said a moment ago, if there's anything that is an operational business, if you want to call it that, would be the church that ought to be a necessity, something that should be viewed as being a viable, necessary thing to stay open for people to at least go in and pray, to be able to go in and have worship. If
Amen.
If in our churches we have to separate them 6 or 8 or 10 foot apart, you take a whole sanctuary and you put rather than 5,000 in it, you put in 500. Rather than 500, you put in 100, et cetera, so that you can properly worship, but not closing the doors of our churches. And I think, Pastor Davis, I'm watching and listening with bated breath as to what Vice President Trump is saying and what the president is saying. And he is talking about, and they touch on the subject of our churches just about each time they do their press conferences about the need to open things back up. And I think that we need to open our churches back up. We need to be as careful as possible. We need to recognize the need for good hygiene, but at the same time, we need not be in a panic-stricken fear. Amen. With our churches sequestering in the closet when the church, as you said a moment ago, is the most viable, valuable thing that could be opened today, in my most humble opinion.
Amen. We would never recommend for anyone to just disobey the rules of cleanliness.
Yes.
I mean, because I was told that a long time ago.
That's
by
right. We grew up
the
here
great
now,
Mother Peterson, one of the greatest women in the church that I ever came to know. She used to have a saying, and I never found it like this in the Word of God. It may be in there somewhere, but I never found it in there like that, and she might have said it to that effect. But she used to say, cleanliness is next to godliness.
Yes.
That was a great thing. I mean, that was a source of encouragement to me to let me know. I mean, and then when you look at the Word of God, it tells us that the Spirit of God don't dwell in an unclean place.
That's right.
So that's got to tie right in together right there. So what we're saying on the day, we don't want you to disobey what they're telling us.
That's right.
Let's wash up. Let's sanitize. Let's do all the necessary things to make sure that we don't contract this virus. But all at the same time, don't forget first and foremost to trust in God for everything.
Peter said in Acts chapter 5, verse 29, we ought to obey God rather than man.
Amen.
What
Amen.
Was the central focus of his statement? He was on the street corner preaching. They said, you can't preach like that. You can't do that. People are bothered with it. People are upset over it. You can't do that. They beat him, put him in prison. Next day released him and said, now don't you do it anymore. And the very next day he was doing the same thing again. And they said, and I'm paraphrasing, of course, didn't we tell you don't do this? He said, we ought to obey God rather than man.
Amen.
God challenges us to be faithful in worship, faithful in prayer, faithful in coming together as a church, the bride of Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are his bride. We're his church. It's our responsibility to honor him, to worship him, to serve him. And when there is major fear and panic and hysteria going on across the globe and in our nation, we need to pray. We need to seek God's face. We need to worship him and praise him and not be told that we can't do so.
Amen.
I believe we have a
Amen.
Caller on the line. Go with the question and the comment, please.
Well, good morning. We have two veteran captains in the cockpit this morning. This is quite a flight. You guys make a great team. Enjoy listening to you. I just wanted to ask Reverend Davis if he knew a Pastor Farrell a few miles up the road in Waycross from, I think, at Mount Sinai. Are you familiar with him?
No, sir. I think I've heard the name before, but I don't know him personally.
Okay, well, I'm just going to say if you saw him, you need to tell him he needs a little enrichment training at CTU.
Amen.
What I'd like to ask you, Reverend Davis, is simply an issue of dispensational theology, because that's what is so wonderful about the man sitting next to you today there in the studio, is the understanding of the reality of the soon return of Christ, the rapture of the church, the return of Christ. What one thing, Reverend Davis, makes you realize or causes you to think that the time of the rapture is near and the tribulation lies just ahead for those who are not taken out? If you would give me your view on that, I'd appreciate it, and I'm going to shut up and listen to what you say.
Well, if we go to Matthew chapter 24, we see in there where Jesus gave all the indications of what would happen in the last days, but it didn't really directly address the rapture, but it let us know things that would precede the events that would happen before the rapture. He said you would hear of wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes in diverse places, and I don't know if you heard about it, but I think there was an earthquake in Utah. I think it was last week or the week before.
Yes, we've
somewhere
had
out of there
in the past 2 weeks.
But he said that these are signs.
Mm-hmm.
So this lets us know that it's very near us, right at the doors. So this is the time that I think the church should really be preparing, not panicking, but preparing to meet our soon coming King. Because my son said it in such a great sentiment the other day at the church. He said, Daddy, said, I believe that God is using this as a universal altar call
yes.
to all people to let them know. it's time to come into the ark of safety.
That's right.
And I think we need to consider that.
Amen. And we're seeing these last days and the events, as we're seeing even with the coronavirus in the last days. Next thing on the calendar of God is the rapture, the sudden seizure, the snatching away
Amen.
Of the bride of Christ. And then these dark days will come full-fledged, full fruition in the world. We're talking about other headlines. Some of the headlines, one says, with the news about all churches being closed, news that New York is going to supposedly have refrigerated, that they already have refrigerated trucks on the parking lots of the hospitals to collect the dead bodies. Continual news showing grocery store shelves empty, and panic and fear then mounts as a result of that. News reporting that the military has now entered into the cities to control the people, fears mount even further. News that the government is now using drones. I don't know if our listeners are aware of this, but in California, some of the communities and counties in California, they're using Chinese-made drones with the monitoring chips in them and with the big telescopes on them and the loudspeakers connected so that they can monitor every place that every citizen goes in that county to make sure that they're obeying the mandate to stay sheltered in place.
Amen.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, when we see those headlines, when we see that kind of news, it can do nothing but bring about fear and panic in the hearts of the people. You see, several of the states and several of the counties across America had already called in the National Guard to help with the disbursement of the materials and goods and so forth. And New York governor has been demanding that the president allow the not the National Guard, but regular military come in and assist. And as of this day, across America, several states are now, and several communities are now welcoming the military in full camouflage uniforms, dressed out for battle, if you will, that's going into our cities. Ladies and gentlemen, when you see military on the street, when you see military vehicles on the street, when you see military at our gates, at our cities, and our doorways, if you please, what else can it do but cause panic and sheer fright and hysteria in our nation? And we're watching that take place today. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the news media 24/7 reporting doom and gloom. The Democratic Socialist mayors and governors demanding that money and more money and more material from the federal government be sent in and provided for them. We could continue on and on and on, ladies and gentlemen, with the headlines of what's taking place. But the bottom line is this. The bottom line is that we need to understand that all of these news reels, all of these news articles, all of the 24/7 news will challenge our security, our health, our freedoms, and our faith in our family. And when those things, Brother Davis, are challenged, when we see it threatening our security, threatening our health, threatening our freedoms, threatening our Bill of Rights, threatening our faith, and threatening our family, we can do nothing else but see sheer panic
Amen.
In our nation. And so the bottom line is, ladies and gentlemen, and Brother Davis, I want us to go to that factor. The bottom line is, as Christians, and for our listeners today, I pray that you're listening. I pray that you're listening. If you want to join in, put in your 2 cents worth, as it's called, you can dial 831-0917, 831-0917. Love to hear you call. You might want to ask me a question or Pastor Davis a question. Love to entertain your question or comment. How is this affecting you? What do you think we need to do? Do you think President Trump is doing a good job, or do you think he's doing a bad job, as the news media would have you to believe? But the bottom line is, how should we live as Christians? We must remember, Brother Davis, that God is still on the throne, that God is still sovereign, that God is still watching over, that God is still in control. God is not going to sleep. God's not going on a vacation. So what is the answer? How do we replace fear with faith? What are some of the verses? What are some of the challenges you'd like to give to our listeners today, Pastor, about faithing rather than fear?
Amen. Well, here, again, I've been using Psalm 91, and I love it so much because, I mean, it starts off telling us, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty.
Amen.
Now, here's what I would tell that devil. If you look at that shadow that's casting across my shoulder, that big guy that's standing behind me, I think you'll move out of my way.
Amen.
Amen. But I just love it so much when we look at this psalm and how much it guarantees us. God makes us so many promises down through that 91st psalm, until when he gets down to the latter parts of those verses, he said down in there, because you trust him and fear in his name, he said, no evil shall befall you, neither shall any plague come near your dwelling. Mm-hmm. And this is what we're facing. This virus is a plague.
Right.
It's a pestilence. We look at Matthew 24. Jesus described pestilences and different things that would take place in the land.
Absolutely.
It's a pestilence. It's a plague. And the only protection that we're going to have is in God on today. Yes, true. I mean, it'll be great if they find a cure for it, be able to give some medication for it. Great. But what if you're not able to get to the medication?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to know something. And I think the best thing that you could ever come to know on today about is about Jesus and the healing power that he has. He's still sitting on the throne, like you said, on the day. And when I talk to people about Jesus, I let them know he's got absolute authority.
Yes.
When you look at absolute, that means it can't get any higher or any better than that. He's got absolute power, absolute healing, absolute authority. Everything about him is absolute, even his holiness and his character. So when we find a man like that, we can put all of our true trust
and
hope
trust
in him.
And confidence in him. Absolutely.
Amen.
Someone said very recently, Pastor Davis, he said, so you're telling me that I could get the virus and I could die? He said, don't threaten me with a good thing. He said, what can be better than going to be with the Lord? Now, I'm not saying that we all should be anxious to die. That's not the point. But why should we be petrified and frightened and afraid? Brother Davis, I believe that all of our listeners, our lives included, that we should replace worry with faith. And verses of Scripture, the best way I think to do that, I've got here before me Exodus 14:13. God told Moses, fear not, stand still and see the salvation, that word means
Amen.
Deliverance, of the Lord, which he will show you today. And Moses was standing there on the banks of the Red Sea. He was standing there on the banks of the great water. And God had told him, don't be afraid. He says, fear not. That's a command he gave to Moses. Fear not. Stand still and see the deliverance of the Lord,
Amen.
Which you shall be shown today. And I think that's a good challenge for us today, ladies and gentlemen. We need to stand still, stop the worrying, stop the fretting, stop the running to and fro, stop the hysteria, the hair on fire, and the pulling of the hair out, thinking that's the end of the world. We need to sit back and relax, do all we can do, yes, pray, and seek God's face, and be confident that God is still on the throne. Psalms 27:3, Brother Davis, comes to mind, where David said, though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in thee will I be confident.
Amen.
That ought to be our mantra today.
Amen.
We need
Amen.
To recognize, ladies and gentlemen, though the enemy might surround us and encamp us, we need to recognize that we are not going to let our hearts be fearful. Brother Davis, what are some of the other verses that we can depend on that will keep us from fearing God, fearing what's happening, but faith in God?
Amen. Well, I'm looking here at the book of 1 John chapter 2, and verse number 5 says, but whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him.
Yes.
We need to learn how to keep the word of God no matter what. Trust in it fully. Because he said the love of God is perfected in us.
Amen.
This is what we need on today. We need that perfect love to keep us strong in spite of all things. Mm-hmm. Again, sometimes I think some people watch a little bit too much TV. Because when they get on that TV, I mean, I'm telling you, like you said, CNN and all these other ones. And I think when we look at the degenerates that we saw, you know, we're calling them now, everything about them is degenerate. They're not passing along information to us that would be beneficial to society. Everything is on a degenerate level. That's not something that we need for the church.
That's right. That
when we learn how to
feed
love
the faith,
God,
that feeds the fear.
Amen. Amen. When we learn how to love God, that will help us to overcome all things. It goes a little bit further. I'm going to skip on over to verse number 24. He said, let that abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye shall also continue in the Son and in the Father.
Yes.
What better place can we be except being in Christ and being in the Father?
Yes.
This is where all of our hope is anchored, mm-hmm. is in Christ Jesus on today. And we're hoping and praying that the believers will get a grip on this right now.
Yes.
You know, just turn that fear loose. Let that stuff go because it's not real. It's not realistic. If they can just keep you all scared and on the edge of your seats, you won't know where to turn or who to trust in.
That's right.
But if you learn how to trust in God in spite of, we can make it through this thing all right.
Amen. And as you said, the degenerates, they're wanting man to faith in them and trust them and what they're doing, and they are absolutely deceiving the public.
Amen.
In a mega fashion. We need to be, as David said in Psalms 118:6, the Lord is on my side, and I will not fear what man can do unto me.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord is on my side. Ladies and gentlemen, we can't ask for anything greater than having God on our sides. We can't ask for any greater power, any greater strength, any greater source, any greater victory, present and future tense, than to know Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord and trusting in God and the realization. Brother Davis, I think you have it near. Turn to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and I think we'll just read that and talk about those verses a couple of minutes. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is a text that I think is very, very beneficial for every Christian. It should be for us today. Read
Amen.
Those verses and let's talk about them.
Amen. He said, trust in the Lord with all, not part.
All.
He said, all thine heart. That's the inner man. That's the core of your being.
Yes.
It's not just a little heart that you draw on a piece of paper.
Yeah, that's
He's
right.
He's talking about your inner being. Trust
total,
in
total
him
being.
With
yes.
all of that.
Yes.
And then he said, and lean not unto thine own understanding. We have to know and understand on today that when we look at things in the world, sometimes our eyes can deceive us.
That's right.
I heard a pastor say we got five senses and all of them can deceive us.
That's right.
You're hearing, you're seeing, you're smelling, you're tasting, you're feeling. All of them will deceive you. So we have to learn how to trust in God, it says, with all our heart. And don't lean, don't depend on what the way you understand it.
Mm-hmm.
Unless what you're understanding lines up with the word of God, that's the only way you can trust in it. But when you start trusting in it and understanding it according to the ways of man, you're always going to end up in shipwreck. And then he said, number seven, he said, you did say five and six. Then he said, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Now, we don't know where we might be going in this world.
You got it.
But if we acknowledge God, he'll turn the light on for us.
You got it.
This is a dark world that we're living in.
And all of that you're talking about is done by F-A-I-T-H.
Amen.
Faith.
Amen.
What does Hebrews 11:1 tell us that faith is?
Hebrews 11:1 tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
We don't see the future.
Amen.
But we can place our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We can lean not on our own understanding, but in all of our ways, acknowledge, recognize him, and he will direct our path.
Amen.
And Pastor Davis, in that same text in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it tells us that without faith, it's impossible to please
Amen.
God.
Amen.
Impossible to please God.
Amen.
So, ladies and gentlemen, what we're trying to impress upon you today as our listeners, we're trying to impress upon our hearts that we need to recognize in the worry and the hurry that we're in society today that we need to be anxious for nothing, that is not worried about anything, but in everything, place our faith and trust and confidence in the Lord. Pastor Davis, not only we need to replace worry with faith, but we need to replenish our worry with prayer.
Amen.
Replenish
Amen.
Our worry with prayer. We can pray and praise the Lord and let our whole being be, and it doesn't mean, ladies and gentlemen, as you're driving down the street, you need to close your eyes and pray, but we need to be in a state of prayer, whatever we do, wherever we go.
Amen.
In fact, in that, it is very clear. Brother Davis, turn to Philippians 4:8 and read that for us. Philippians 4:8, I believe, is fitting for this juncture of where we are today in society and talking about replenishing our worry, our anxiety, and our hysteria, and our panic-stricken hearts with prayer before the Lord.
Amen.
And if we do that, we're going to find in verse 7 of Philippians 4, we're going to find peace, but then verse number 8 gives us the very key to that. Share that verse with us.
Amen. He says, finally, that's after you have gone through everything else.
Yeah.
Finally,
yeah.
Here's the conclusion. Brethren, talking to those in the body of Christ, whatsoever things are true. See, we have to examine things. So if he's telling us whatsoever things are true, there must be some false things out there,
it.
Too, that we got to guard against.
Whatsoever
but
things
then
are
he
true,
says,
and it will be anything except what the Democrats are saying.
Amen. 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 Then he said, whatsoever things are honest.
Yes.
See, no, now he's pointing at the positive part because he wants us to know that there's
yes.
also a negative.
Yes.
There's dishonesty out
yes,
there also.
Absolutely.
Amen. Then he said, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are of good report. There's a lot of bad reports on out there on today.
Absolutely.
But you need to learn how to separate the good from the bad.
And
amen.
Christians ought to be able to do that.
He said, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those are positive thoughts that can keep you encouraged no matter what you are facing.
In other words, what the scripture says is we need to reprogram our thinking process.
Amen.
And rather than thinking that the world's coming to an end, rather than thinking that everybody's going to die because of the coronavirus, rather than thinking that the CNN news is correct, rather than thinking that, we need to think on pure, holy things that the Apostle Paul is talking about here to the Philippians in the church at Philippi.
Amen. I think this would be a perfect time now. I know some of them, when they come home from church on Sunday, they throw the Bible in the corner, and the poor Bible won't ever get read again until the following week.
It's unfortunate, but true.
The following week. They don't ever read it, you know, in the home throughout the week.
Yes.
But now is the perfect time that we can take out, you know, some time each day.
The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God.
Amen. Amen. Right. And get into the Word of God, people. It's very essential. Get into the Word of God on today. This is where all of our answers, all of our healing, all of our blessings, all of our guidance, all of our answers, we will find that in the Word of God. Take the time out to read the Word of God on today.
That's a good thing that people are sequestered in the homes, that they can take the Word of God if they will only do so. So let me encourage our listeners today.
Amen.
Pull that Bible out. Wipe the dust off the cover. Open it up and read it. And then finally, Brother Davis, one of the things we must do is not only replace worry with fear and replenish our worry with prayer, but we must faith the Lord. In these uncertain days, I don't think there's any other thing that's any greater than focusing on the Lord. Hebrews 13:6 says, so that we may say boldly, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do to me.
Amen.
I believe that that's what we ought to do. Brother Davis, in Isaiah 43:5, it says, fear not, for I am with thee. If you would, Brother Davis, in our closing moments, read Isaiah 41:10 for our listeners, and
amen.
Let's comment.
Amen.
Isaiah 41:10, and we'll comment on that to leave that word with our listeners today.
Amen. Isaiah
41:10
says, fear not, fear thou not, for I am. That's a promise. I am with thee. Be not dismayed. That means in a turmoil,
anxious,
in confusion.
Worried, in a turmoil, yes.
Amen. Then he says here, for I am thy God. That's the covenant name.
That's right.
I am. He is the great I am.
He is the I am.
I will. That's another promise. Strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness.
Yes.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, I don't have any greater verse to close this broadcast on than that Isaiah 41:10. Take your Bible, read that, meditate on it, and take time to go to the Lord in prayer and in replacing that fear with faith, trusting in God with all of our heart. Thank you for joining us today on this broadcast. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issue.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 120 21 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.